The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Of the Spirit of Faith, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good, and Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I trust you all are having a great evening tonight. And if you're not, we can change that as we get our eyes off of our situation and off of our circumstances and lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord. Once you start getting your eyes off of you and getting your eyes on Jesus, all of a sudden things begin to change. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is good all the time. And when you focus on his goodness will begin to come into your life. Praise God. One of the biggest issues that we have is that we just focus on ourselves and how things all consume around us, and they really don't. Really, the world does not revolve around you and I. It's a much bigger world than sometimes we realize. And the lowest side of life is self. The lowest side of life is the unholy trinity. You ever heard that before, Gary? The unholy trinity?
No.
Me, myself, and I. That's the unholy trinity. And when you just focus on you, man, you're living on the lowest level of life. But when you begin to get your eyes off of yourself, begin to really focus on others and become a giver and become someone who is not just consumed with themselves, man, this is where real joy begins. Real joy begins when you are a giver. And the greatest giver that we know, who do you think the greatest giver of all time is, Gary?
God,
that's right. And we have the scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God, the one who has everything, is the greatest giver. And he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we serve an amazing Jesus, an amazing God the Father, an amazing Holy Spirit. God is so good all the time, no matter what you're going through. No matter, there's a song we used to sing, Bishop Butler, my pastor, taught us this long time ago, before me, but 20 years ago for me. And the song goes, the Lord is good all the time. The Lord is good all the time. No matter what the people say, no matter what your feelings say, no matter what the devil says, the Lord will never change. Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So sow your life into Jesus Christ, who'll pour you out a blessing. And it's just the truth. When you get your eyes off yourself and begin to be a blessing to others, that's when you truly begin to live on the blessing side of life. Praise God. I'm expecting a great show tonight. Welcome to the 2023 edition of Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. I'm so glad you're here. I'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email me right now. InStudio101@gmail.com. That's InStudio101@gmail.com. If you have a Bible question, if you have a praise report, if you'd like to talk to me about something going on, just email me right now, InStudio101@gmail.com. I think I'm going to check the emails a little bit earlier tonight so we can get into some dialogue. I'd also invite you to join me on the air, and you can do that by simply emailing us InStudio101@gmail.com and put in the subject Zoom, and our wonderful producer, Gary, will send you back a link and get you hooked up with us. So once again, that's InStudio101@gmail.com. Just put in the subject Zoom, and you can come on the air. I'd love to have you on the air with me tonight in Jesus' name. Praise God. Well, I hope you got your Bibles. We're going to pray. Make sure you take a moment and share this link with others. We get more visitors on every single week, Gary. It's so encouraging. We've been on now for around 3 years, I guess. I could look it up exactly, but you know, we have well over 10,000 with us live every week just on the radio. And then, of course, we also have Facebook Live, praise God. But this past week was January 1st, and we had listeners from Argentina, from England, from Italy, Nepal, Russia, Turkey, the United States. And our number one listeners, as always, is from Canada, praise God. So a shout out to all my Canadian friends. Thank God for Canada, and believe in God for revival in Canada. The Bible tells us that when iniquity abounds, grace does much more abound. And even though we have evil leaders, we have leaders who are anti-Christ, leaders who do not believe in freedom, God will still do great things in the midst of that. And so we can't be moved by any of that. We have to trust God that things are going to turn around. And I believe that they will, praise God, because God always answers prayer. And if you'll pray and you'll ask and you'll believe God, he will turn things around. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray and get into the word tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. We thank you for your loving kindnesses and your tender mercies. Thank you for all that you have done, and thank you for all that you are doing. Lord, we're just in the beginning of this. You call us your little children, your little infant darling ones. We're just beginning in this with you, and we're so thankful that we're born. We're so thankful that we're in Christ. We're so thankful that we are going to live forever because we have eternal life. Not when we die, but when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, we received eternal life. And so we're grateful and we're thankful tonight. We pray for all of our partners around the world. We pray for all of those that are going through difficult times that are believers. We pray for those in the Ukraine. We pray for those in Brazil. We pray for those in every nation, and those that especially that are struggling and dealing with persecution. We know that Christians are dying today for their faith. And so we pray for the persecuted church. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen them and that they would be hardened to difficulty, that they would not quit, but that they would stay focused on the cross, knowing that the best is yet to come and that even the worst that man can do is kill the body. But Lord, you have already given them eternal life. And so we pray for them to be encouraged and strengthened and delivered in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen.
Amen.
We also pray, Father, for a flow of the Holy Spirit tonight. Take us in the direction you'd have us to go. Say what you want to say, and we'll give you and you alone all the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me give a shout out to our folks on Facebook. Hello to Susanna and Veronica and Minister Ulette and Sister Margaret and Todd. Praise God. And shout out to Jedi as well. And Compton and Sister Thelma, praise the Lord. Happy New Year to you as well. Susan and Andrew, good evening. Veronica, good evening. Sister Christine and Loris, God bless you all. Praise God. Gilda and Garfield, God bless you. Good evening to you as well. Joan, good evening. I love you. Praise the Lord. Denise and Ron, God bless you. And of course, we have others joining. So God bless all of you. And I'm sure glad that you are here with us tonight. Let's go to our foundation scripture, which is found in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter, and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, every year, and I have used every year, we have a theme for the year. And We believe God for a word, and the word, the Lord always gives us a word through our bishop, and this year is no different. Bishop has given us a word from the Lord, and not a word just for other local believers, but a word for us specifically. Now, last year, the word of the Lord was the year of the authority of the righteous, and understanding and walking in our authority. And this year, we received the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord to us as a local body of believers, which is not just local. I mean, we have lots of churches, and of course, the radio show. The word of the Lord is that it's the year of the blessing. And what I also heard our bishop say is that it's the year of the return of the blessing. And, you know, the last 3 years have been challenging for a lot of people. People's lives have been changed forever. I know my country changed, and people have gone through divorces, and people have had individuals transition or pass away in their lives. And there's been a lot of major changes in people's lives. And of course, COVID changed the whole world. And within COVID, you had all kinds of other things change, and a lot of different things happen. And so I had such a witness to this word for 2023 that it's the year of the blessing. And God's desire is that we be blessed in every area of our lives. I love 3 John verse 2. He says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper." You know, it's another way of saying blessed, that you may prosper and be in health. That's another way of saying blessed. God wants us blessed. God doesn't want us poor. God doesn't want us battling all the time. God doesn't want us down and distraught. He wants us blessed. He wants us encouraged. He wants us going upward and onward, praise God, because when we do, it brings glory to his name and to the kingdom of God. And other people want to know what we got so that they can get it. And of course, our desire as believers is to see everybody receive eternal life, because there is only one way. It's not, you know, whatever makes you happy. Happiness is temporal. Joy is eternal, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and joy comes from having eternal life. And eternal life is only available through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot get it any other way. You can't get it through Krishna or Muhammad or Buddhism or Hinduism or any of these things. You can only receive eternal life through Jesus. It is the gift of God, and that gift is only received through our Lord and Savior. And so an individual has to make a decision to humble themselves and receive Jesus as their Lord, as their master. And then that's only the beginning. You know, the scripture says that as many that call upon his name shall be saved. And it says that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, then you get saved. But if you don't maintain that confession, then you are not saved. And that's sometimes what a lot of people realize, and sometimes why people are going through such difficulty is that they've not maintained the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, if you get a new house, Gary, and that house is brand new, and you got a new roof, and you got new plumbing, and you got new electricity and everything else, after a few years or so, what are you going to have to do with that new house?
Well, you do repairs and upgrades and all that stuff.
And if you don't, it ain't what it was.
Right.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and her grandfather had built his house, and he just passed away, 2 weeks ago or so. He was 102 years old.
Wow.
Well, he built that house 67 years ago. Wow. And it has the original electrical panel in it.
Oh, wow.
They can't even sell that house today.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't meet code. They can give it away, but yeah, they can't sell it because the electrical is so outdated, it doesn't meet code, and they won't even allow, a realtor will not even be able to legally sell it.
Yeah.
And you know, if you don't maintain your salvation, it's something that has to be maintained. Confessing Jesus as the Lord of your life is something that is a present tense declaration. It's not, I did it once, so now I'm saved forever. No, you have to walk in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He has to be the master of your life in a daily basis. And when you first come to Christ, you only have a little bit of information. You just have enough to know to get saved. But then as newborn babes, we begin to receive the sincere milk of the Word of God, and we begin to grow thereby. And as we begin to grow in the things of God, now there is more expected, because to whom much is given, much is required. And so the more that you get from the Spirit, from your Heavenly Father, from the Holy Spirit, now you have to do what He is giving you. If you don't do it, you're not walking by faith, because James tells us that faith without works is dead, being alone. As the body is dead without the Spirit, so faith is dead without works. If you know to do good, but you don't do good, do you remember what that is, Gary? To him that knows to do good but doesn't, to him it is?
I'm quoting scripture. I don't remember that.
Sin.
Oh, well, yeah, sin.
So if you know what to do, but you don't do it, it's sin. Well, you know, I think a lot of times we get religious with that word sin. You've heard me translate it many times. Do you remember how I always translate it?
Help me out.
Sin, it means to miss the mark.
Okay.
So sin is the idea of an archer taking a bow and pulling it back and releasing the arrow, but missing the mark. He missed the bullseye.
Okay.
So now he needs an instructor to show him how to shoot the arrow so he can hit the bullseye.
Right.
And you know, people who are rusty. I was watching a show the other day about these marksmen, snipers from the army from 35 years ago. And they were going up against some current day snipers. And of course, the equipment today is not even the same that it was 35 years ago. And nowadays, these guys can hit shots at you know, 2.5 miles on a moving boat. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy the kind of things they can do with the assistance of technology. And these guys were just really a little bit intimidated, but also humble about the fact that how far things have come in time. And so They were talking about just, I just could see the humility on them, but they realized that they were missing the mark. And so these young guys now, these young whippersnappers, 19, 20 years old, like they were 35 years ago, are now showing them what to do so they can hit the mark. And that's what we have to realize, is that if we are only, if we've been saved for 20 years, but we're only walking in the information that we had 20 years ago, and we have not grown between then and now, then we are definitely not hitting the mark. Walking with Christ is a daily routine. It's a daily walk. It's a daily responsibility. And it's not something that you can take lightly. And it's not something that you can you can think that I can do it once and now I have eternal life and I don't need to do anything else. No, you become deceived. And that's what Satan is trying to do. Satan is still trying to steal and to kill and to destroy. And when you get born again, you've just started. I don't care if you're 50 years old when you got born again. You just started. You now are a brand new babe in Christ. You're a baby. You haven't grown spiritually. You might be a 50-year-old grown-up, but you're not grown up in the spirit. You've just begun. You've just started. And Satan will make mincemeat out of you. And if you start making excuses about why you don't need to grow, he is going to use that as a weapon against you and keep you in a place of defeat and a place of darkness. But if you'll humble yourself, you've now come to Christ. Now you say, Father, I want to grow in you. I want to increase in you and I want to grow up. You know, our pastor today, you can get the message, by the way, on Facebook, Word of Faith Southfield, wordoffaith.cc is our website, and find Word of Faith, Bishop Butler, and you can watch it for free on Facebook. And just a great message about the blessing. And one thing he was talking about today is that you don't know when your time is up. Your time could be at any time. And I was reminded, you know, about the words of Jesus. And Jesus said this, he said, my time is not yet. But he said, your time is always, because we don't know when our time is going to be up. And, you know, were you watching Monday Night Football last week when DeMar dropped dead on the field?
Yeah, and I follow that because my family and I are avid Bills fans. So, yes,
Yeah, Buffalo Bills. You're from Buffalo, right?
Rochester and okay, New York Rochester, City. Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, 60 miles, right?
Yeah, been to both places.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had no idea that it was going to be his time. And you say, well, he's not dead. He did die. He died.
Twice.
He was dead on that field for 9 minutes. He was in cardiac arrest. He was dead. And but this man had, I believe what I'm hearing is that he had made Jesus Christ the Lord of his life. He was born again. And this guy was a giver as well. He had been working so hard over Christmas to try to get people to give to his toy foundation. What did he raise, Gary? Like $30,000?
It was more than that, if I'm not mistaken, but yes.
It wasn't very much. It was 20 to 30,000, okay. Something like that. But then after he died, and he's in ICU and everyone's believing and want to support him, within 24 hours, he raised $5 million.
That's what I was thinking of.
It right.
Was millions,
and now it's up to, like, I think close to $7 million.
And that's for toys and stuff for kids and everything.
It was simply for toys. Now it's going to probably evolve into all kinds of stuff. But the point I'm trying to make is that he's a 24-year-old professional athlete. Probably in the top less than one percentile of perfect conditioning for a man, 24 years old, and the guy drops dead. He didn't know his time was up. And, you know, you were a paramedic for what, a decade, Gary?
10 years, yes.
Yeah, and I was a paramedic for 13 years. I mean, I could tell you story after story. I think sometimes of these two young people, 16 years old, driving down a dirt road and just, you know, hot rodding it, not drunk or anything, just having what they would consider fun, going 100 miles an hour on a dirt road. Well, you know, anybody that knows anything about that, the vibrations of the car on the dirt road caused them to lose control in the summertime, and they went right into a tree, and they were both in eternity in just a half a second. And these kind of things, people leaving prematurely, happen all the time, every day. As a matter of fact, every 2 seconds, every second, two people die. Less than every second, two people die. You know, and as well as people being born. But just talking about death, and young people die every day. And you don't know when it's going to be your time. And like my pastor, Bishop Butler, always says, don't play Russian roulette with your salvation. I'm a gun guy. I'm a gun enthusiast. I like guns. You know, some people like collect dolls or collect cars or other things. And, you know, with a gun, there's a gun called a revolver. And a revolver has a cylinder. And it takes, you know, 5, 6, 7 different bullets in it. And Russian roulette is where you put one bullet in that cylinder, you spin it, close it, and then pull the trigger and hope that the bullet didn't land on you. And that's what people do with eternal life. They play Russian roulette because they're living their life the way that they want to live it. And when you live the way you want to live it, you're not living it the way God wants you to live it. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And if you die and you are not in the right place with God, this is the place where you have played Russian roulette with your salvation. And what is going to happen? Was Jesus the Lord of your life? Did you have your faith in the confidence of what Jesus has done, and are your sins washed away? Nothing can wash away your sins but the blood of Jesus. It's not about what you can do to earn your salvation. You can't do anything to earn your salvation, but you have to receive your salvation, and then you have to walk in your salvation. If you're not walking in your salvation, then you don't have your salvation. And that's a lot of times what people miss. Again, it's not about what you do. It's about what you believe. But if you believe, then there's going to be doing. If there's no doing, there's no believing. Am I making that simple enough, Gare?
Yeah, for sure. For me, anyways.
Yeah. And it is simple, saints. It's not difficult or complicated. It's simple. God's not trying to keep anyone out of heaven. He wants everyone to get into heaven. But the choice is not up to God. The choice is up to us. So what do we do in this 2023 year? How do we make sure that we are walking out God's will for our life? Well, I believe it begins with prayer. And prayer is simply communication with God. Prayer is divine fellowship. Prayer is two individuals talking. And God is an individual and you are an individual. And when you pray, you are communicating with God. And communication is always two ways. And so I just feel led tonight to start over here in Romans. Did I ever read our verse?
Yes.
I did. Okay, good. All right, let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's begin with verse 26. Romans 8:26. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. And it says here, verse 26, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." Now, hold your finger here and jump over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Notice in Romans 8:26, he says that we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Now, what he's telling us here is that we don't know the specifics about every situation, but we know the generalities. We don't know the specifics. Here in Romans 8, Paul is talking by the Holy Spirit about the specifics. But do we know that the general prayers that God wants us to pray? Sure we do. And let's start over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, And look at verse 1, and I'm going to read this in the King James Version. And he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So a few surface items that we see in these verses. He tells us, first of all, he says, I exhort therefore that first of all, and he lists four types of prayers, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. The word first is the Greek word proton. Proton means in this order. So the first thing he says to pray is supplications. Well, we understand from scripture that supplications is for the saints. We supplicate. Ephesians chapter 6, I think it's verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit for all men. So supplications is always for saints. Now we skip over to intercessions. Intercessions is for the lost. Why? Well, first of all, Jesus is interceding for the saints. So we're not doing Jesus's job. Jesus intercedes for us. But intercession means standing in the gap. So Jesus is standing in the gap for the saints, but we stand in the gap for unbelievers. So intercessions is praying for the lost. And then the second one here is prayers, which is the Greek word prosuke. Pros is the prefix in the Greek that means face-to-face. And then suke means a earnest prayer of any kind. So he's talking about going to God in prayer. And Hebrews 4:12 says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So God wants us to come prosuke, prayers, face to face with him and pray according to his will. Now, again, there is a general will. Say with me, Gary, there's a general will.
There's a general will.
And a specific will.
And a specific will.
The general will of God is what we find in the teaching of God's word. So the Bible gives us the general will of God. And there's some specifics there, but it's the general will of God. So for example, the Bible has an answer for everything in your life. But and God has a desire and a will for every area in your life. For example, a house. God wants you to have a nice place to live. A husband or wife. God wants you to marry the right person. But is the Bible going to tell you what house to live in, Gary?
No.
Is the Bible going to tell you who to marry?
No.
No. So he tells you the general understanding of God's desire regarding every single subject. But when it comes to specifics, praying, and Bishop Butler wrote a great book on this called Praying with Specifics, I believe is what it's called. I'll look it up here in a minute. But it talks about what we're talking about tonight. So now go back with me to Romans, the 8th chapter, as we continue to talk about prayer. And he says in Romans, the 8th chapter, I'm in the New Living Translation, verse 26, the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. So let's break this down now. Let me go back to the King James and read it here. And that's not working, King James. And the King James says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Now, the word infirmity in the Greek is translated weaknesses. It's the Greek word asthenia. And asthenia means feebleness. In other words, it means what you lack, what you don't have. Well, what don't we have regarding prayer, Gary? It says it right in this verse. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our lack, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So what is our lack?
Is it lacking in the Spirit?
Well, no, let me read it again. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities or our lack, or the word for could also be because we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
Our infirmities.
What's our infirmity?
Our lack of
knowing
no
what to
pray for.
pray for
as
we ought. Exactly. See, we know the general will of God. The general will of God, for example, is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Is it ever God's will for someone not to be saved?
No.
Never. It's God's will for everyone to be saved. So we know the general will of God. But when it comes to the specific will of God, do we know that?
Yes and no, I'd have to say.
I would agree with that. That's a good answer. And one verse that comes to mind is 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. And 1 John 2:20 says that we have, I think that's the right one. It's either 20 or 27. 1 John 2:20. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, that's the Holy Spirit, or Jesus, and you know all things. Well, notice that. He says, you know all things. Well, how are you, is it possible for you to know all things? Careful now.
I would say it is possible because
it is because he said it. He said, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Now, some people, Gary, would immediately correct God and they say, well, I don't know all things. Well, all that is carnality. Listen, if God said it, then it's true. God is not a man that he should lie. So if God said it, then it's true. So how do you know all things? Let me repeat it again. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. So how do you know all things?
By his word, by reading.
Well, no, not through the word, through the unction. The unction from the Holy Spirit. Now, the word unction is also translated anointing. If you drop down to verse 27, I'm in 1 John chapter 2. The word anointing in 1 John 2:27 is the same exact Greek word translated unction. And this word unction is charisma. Charisma, which is the same word anointing, is talking about the rubbing on or the smearing on of the anointing or the Holy Spirit. So in verse 27, he says, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. That's the Holy Spirit. And you don't need any man to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it or he, Holy Spirit's not an it, he has taught you, you shall abide in him. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher. So in verse 20, he says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know everything. Well, how do you know everything? You know everything by the Spirit. So when you are walking by the Spirit, trusting in the Spirit, you know all things. Well, how do you tap into this knowledge?
Well,
how do you walk in this knowledge? How do you receive this knowledge? Well, he tells us right back in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Let's start over. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our lack, our weaknesses. Help everybody out in case they just tune in, Gary. What's our weaknesses? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I know you're not looking at it like I am.
No,
but
not
Romans,
at all. That's
Romans 8:26, because I know Gary multitasks. But
no, I have six monitors.
Job,
I'm
he has
at,
to.
Yeah.
He's monitoring everything. Yeah, but I got to put you on the spot.
That's
anyway,
all right.
So he says that the Holy Spirit helps our lack or our weaknesses. What is our weakness? We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, we know the generality of what to pray for. So, for example, a situation happens or we hear about what's going on in Brazil or what's going on at the border, what's going on in Ukraine, what's going on in Sally's life or Bill's life or your kid's life, what's going on there. You know the generality of what's happening in their life or in the circumstances, but you don't know the specifics. And truthfully, you don't know how to pray for them. Now, you know God's will. For example, the general will of God in 3 John verse 2 is that, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. That's the general will of God. But we need to take it deeper and pray with specifics, as our bishop, Bishop Butler, would say. You need to pray specifically. Well, how do you do that? Because in your knowledge, you don't know. But he tells us in 1 John 2:20 that you got an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Well, how do you know all things? You know it by the Spirit. So now here he tells us how to tap into this and how to pray out God's perfect will. Verse 27, for he that searches the hearts. Who do you think it is that searches all the hearts, Gary? Who searches ever? Who's the only one who can search
God.
Every heart? God. And God who? Remember, it's God the Father,
God the Spirit.
God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit.
Right.
So he's the one who searches all the hearts. So he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he is the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, how does he make this intercession? Well, you back up here and he says, but the Spirit himself, verse 26, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, what are these groanings? These groanings are words and sounds that come out of the Spirit, and these are heavenly words. These are heavenly groanings. These are heavenly sounds. That there's something that cannot be articulated in a known language. So if your known language is English or Spanish or French or Portuguese or whatever it might be, that known language cannot bring forth the intercession of specifics that God wants to bring forth as you pray out of your mouth. So what are you praying out of your mouth? You're praying out the will of God with words and sounds that are not learned, that are not something that is articulated in a known language. It's coming from the Spirit. Let's jump over for a moment where we see about praying in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14, 3, I believe. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. And it says this, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. And then I'm going to get to your questions in just a second. For he that speaks in a tongue. Now, the King James says unknown tongue, but the word unknown is in italics. So I'm giving you some deep understanding here. Unknown is in italics, which means it was not in there in the original text. It was added by the translators to try to help us understand. Sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't. In this case, I don't know that it really helps, because it's not an unknown tongue to everybody. It's a very known tongue to God, because God is the one giving it to you. He that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Now, what do we call it, Gary, when we talk to God?
Prayer.
So when he says that he that speaks in a tongue talks to God, and how does he talk to God? He's praying to God. He's communicating with God. He's speaking back to God the words that God gave him. So God is receiving prayer with words that he gave the believer that are perfect words that specifically pray concerning the situation that only God fully knows about, but he's giving you the knowledge in order to pray it back to him in a perfect, articulated manner that God can receive, and then God can answer those prayers. God always answers prayer, but when you pray specifically with information and knowledge that only God has, that God is now giving you in words or groanings. Now you're praying those back to him, and God is now stamping his seal of approval. He's answering those prayers, and they're coming to pass. Praise the Lord. So he says, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him. So when you're praying these prayers, your ears are not understanding what you are saying exactly, but God does it, knows exactly, because he's giving you those words. He says, howbeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries, or one translation says he speaks divine secrets. So you're praying out God's perfect will. So God's will is for us to pray in specifics. And we find in the book of Acts that when believers received salvation, when they were born again, they also received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me just read one word and then I'm going to pray for you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is salvation. Same thing. The word baptized means to be immersed. And then the name of Jesus Christ is the only name by which men are saved for the remission of sins. And then, Acts 2:38, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, understand this. Your heavenly prayer language, praying in tongues, is not a gift. Praying in tongues is not a gift. Oh, pastor, you're blaspheming now. You're not teaching us the Bible anymore. You're teaching us some strange doctrine. No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not. 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue or in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit he speaketh mysteries or divine secrets. When you pray, I didn't say the gift of tongues. I said pray in tongues. You are releasing words back to God from utterance that the Holy Spirit is giving you in your spirit. This is not a gift. The gift is the person of the Holy Spirit. Tongues here is prayer. And Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 14. And he said, I would that you all spoke in tongues. For he that speaks in tongues edifies himself or builds up himself. So two things are happening when you pray in tongues. You are building up yourself, you're edifying yourself, and you're praying out the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, and you're building yourself up. And this is for every believer. God's will, we just read Acts 2:38, is for everyone to be saved and for everyone to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And every occurrence in the book of Acts, when they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues. I'm talking about the prayer language that comes with the Holy Spirit when every believer is baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I prayed and I believed God to receive the Holy Spirit, but I didn't speak in tongues. Well, it's because you didn't speak in tongues. I don't know how many people got that just now.
I got it.
Who does the speaking?
Well, the person does the speaking, but
exactly, and yeah. That's what most people don't get, Gary. A lot of people think that God is going to make you speak, that God is going to make your vocal cords produce sound. No, he's not. You got to do that. He baptizes you in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes within your spirit. But then you have to now, and he comes upon you, I should say. Not he's in your spirit when you're born again. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you. And when he comes upon you, it comes with the outward evidence of speaking in other tongues. But you do the speaking. And this is where a lot of people get messed up, is that they think that, well, it's going to happen automatically. And if it was God's will, then I would speak in tongues. No, my friend, he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You got to do the speaking, which means you have to open your mouth by faith and begin to speak whatever words comes. But remember, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. The problem or the disconnect here is that a lot of people lean on their own understanding and they think, well, the words that I'm saying is just gibberish. It's not from God. And they reason it away. And once you reason it away, then now you have deactivated your faith in that area. It doesn't mean you lose your salvation. You don't have to speak in tongues to be saved, but you do have to speak it. You do have to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues in order to pray out mysteries or God's perfect will. And we see in 1 Corinthians 14 that God's desire is for everyone to speak in tongues. Praise God. But it doesn't happen automatically. It requires faith. And faith, of course, has five elements: hearing, believing, praise God. I just drew a blank. Hearing, believing, receiving, speaking, and acting. And these are required in order to walk in the promise that God has given us. It's not automatic. And 2023 being the year of blessing is not a year where the blessing is going to automatically come upon you. You're going to have to walk in the blessing, praise God. And how do you walk in the blessing? By being a doer of the word of God. Amen. All right, I got a lot of emails. Let's start getting to them tonight. Our first email here tonight is from our friend, Edward. Edward says, hi, Pastor, this makes sense to me. And it says, you don't come here to the hospital looking for healthy people. And then there's a picture of the church. And it says, so don't come here looking for perfect people. Amen. That's something that sometimes turns people away from church, as they get offended. You know, they're looking for a perfect church. Well, there is no perfect church. If the church was perfect before you got there, you're imperfect, and now the church is no longer perfect. None of us are perfect, but God is perfect. Praise the Lord. And we need church. The scripture tells us in Hebrews, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need to come together in church. It's critically important. Thank you for sending that tonight, Edward. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Lisa entitled My Flag. And it says, hello, Pastor John. I like John the Baptist. My flag. Jesus, 2023, our only hope. That's a great flag. I really appreciate that. And he is our only hope. That is the reality. He is our only hope. Everything in this world is going to pass away. You know, if you're working so hard to get this and get that, but you don't have Jesus, and you're working so hard to get him or her and all these different things, but you don't have Jesus, your focus is on the wrong thing. He is the only one who matters, and he is the only one who is going to give you an everlasting hope, because everything else is going to get burned up. But your faith in him and what you have done for him will give you a reward, and that is something that you can take with you. Praise God. Call you blessed tonight, Lisa, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend Greg. Greg says, here is another year of the Spirit of Faith. Amen. Here's to another year. I second that. Call you blessed tonight, Greg, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Rita. Rita says, Pastor, do you believe in any Christian New Year's resolutions? And if so, what are they? Thanks. I do. And when I look at a resolution, Rita, I think of resolving to do what's right. And so, you know, I know for me, I'm so encouraged and excited about every Sunday. I get excited about Sunday. I love Sunday. Sunday for me is the first day of the week, and it is. And it's also every Sunday I celebrate resurrection, because Jesus was raised from the dead on a Sunday. So really, I'm celebrating Resurrection Sunday every Sunday. And I look at every Sunday as a brand new start of a brand new week with brand new mercies. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not here yet. This is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad. God has forgiven me, washed me, cleansed me, given me a brand new start. So that's every Sunday. But then when the new year begins, and it did for me as well, I began to resolve that I am going to make some changes in this year. I'm going to tighten up my how I eat. I'm going to start increasing my exercise. There's some things that I'm going to do. I'm going to read through the book of Jeremiah right away. I'm going to start reading through the Gospels. There's some goals that I'm making for myself. Now, if you're just doing like a resolution where I'm not going to eat for 2 weeks and lose this weight and that way, man, all that's going to be temporary. A resolution, in my opinion, should be something that you are rekindling the fire of something that God has already put in your belly and something that you know is good and right to do. And so you're just realizing it's a new year, and I'm not going to let it go to waste. I am going to make some changes and go back to what I had resolved to do. And maybe God puts something new in your heart to do. And you receive by faith grace to do it and begin to walk it out. So thank you for that. Call you blessed, Rita, in Jesus. You want to add anything to that, Gary?
No, that's a great explanation, really, if you think about it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, because otherwise, if you go into 2023 depressed and you're all upset about last year, I never heard this until I moved to Canada, and that is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results.
Yeah, that's correct. I've heard that several times.
If you really want to be free from depression, or you want to be, you know, you want to change, you want to lose some weight, you're going to have to what, Gary?
To lose weight?
Spooky on me now. Huh?
To lose weight, you said?
Well, whatever. If you are dealing with depression or weight issue or whatever it might be, maybe you don't have any friends. If you want change, what is the answer?
Prayer.
Okay. And prayer is what? Prayer is doing something. You're going to have to do something about it. Sitting around wishing. And here, you know what? If you're only praying and you're only talking to God about it, that's not going to change anything.
No, you have to do it yourself as well.
You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to get wisdom from God. I was teaching this to somebody this morning. This is a wonderful woman of God. She loves the Lord and she's going through a trial. And I took her back to James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different trials of any kind, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any man lack wisdom, lacking wisdom. And what is wisdom? A lot of people don't even know what wisdom is. What's your definition of wisdom, Gary?
Wisdom to me would be things that you've learned throughout your life.
You're close. So here's an example. Knowledge would be an example of having a map. I've got knowledge. I can see the streets. I can see the street names. I can see where's north, south, east, and west. That's knowledge. Now, wisdom is knowing which way to turn to get to my destination.
Okay.
Wisdom is always about the future. Wisdom is knowing what to do. Wisdom is knowing how to accurately apply knowledge. So he says in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any man lack wisdom, wisdom about what? About the trial. Wisdom as what do I do in this situation? What is the answer here? I'm in this situation. Now, what do I do? You with me?
I'm with you 100%.
And he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's called what? Asking of God is called what?
Prayer. You're prayer. Asking. Yeah,
that's right. You're asking God. It's prayer. See, my job, Gary, is to take spiritual things and make them simple. And sometimes people, they get so deep and spooky with the Bible and religion that they don't understand the practicality and the simplicity of God's word. God's not trying to show how smart he is through the Bible. God is trying to get the information to us so we can do it. And when we do it, we're then blessed in our deed. And so we need to have wisdom so we know what to do, how to do it. And when we know how to do it and when to do it, then we receive the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Rita, I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend James. James says, I'm not making any plans how I want 2023 to go. I really just want God to take the lead. Now, James, how is God going to take the lead? What are you going to give that answer? How are you going to answer James in this question, Gary?
Well, by praying and hearing the word.
That's it, man. And it's exactly what I've been talking about tonight. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray it out in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you're praying with specifics. Somebody needs to get that book tonight. Go to wordoffaith.cc. Let me make sure it's available. Wordoffaith.cc. And you're looking for the book, Praying with Specifics. Wordoffaith.cc. And then we want the e-store. And then in the e-store, we're going to search for praying praying for others with specifics. And it's got a picture of a bullseye on it. It's $9.99. You can download it right now. Let's see. Can you download it? Yeah. Ebook. You can download it right now. Praying with Specifics. Somebody needs to get a hold of that book tonight. It'll be a great blessing to your life. Praying with Specifics. Go to, estore.wordoffaith.cc. You can download it anywhere around the world. And I think there's also other, languages available. I think we have it in French as well. Praise God. So check that out. And you can go to kbm.org if you're in a different country. kbm.org. KKeithButlerMinistries.org. Praise God. Amen. All right. Call you blessed tonight, James, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Monique. I love that name, Monique. Monique says, Pastor, even though both books of the Bible are very important, aren't we as Christians supposed to really be concentrated on the New Testament? Absolutely. We do need both books because it's God speaking to us and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the New Covenant, the New Testament, is specifically for us as Christians and specifically the epistles of Paul, Paul and Peter, John. These are specifically for the New Testament. Born-again believer. Praise God. Amen. Monique, call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Henry. Henry says, good evening, Pastor. Because this is what God made, period. Why is it that when archaeologists and find human remains, they're either male or female and none other 700 genders? That's a great question, Gary, wouldn't you say?
I think it's funny the way that he put it, but yes.
And it's a picture of, what's his name? Harrison Ford. What was his character called?
Indiana Jones. Yeah.
Yeah. Indiana Jones. I might go watch that tonight. That's hilarious. Call you blessed tonight. Henry, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from our friend, Tammy. Tammy says, hello, Pastor. Bless you in this new year. Bless you too, Tammy. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email from Kim. Kim says, I'm a Christian. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I mess up, but God's grace is bigger than my sins. Hey, to the men, to that one, Kim, call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Tom. Tom says, hi, Pastor. Are we? You're made for miracles. That's absolutely true, Tom. It's a picture of the cross, and we are made for miracles. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Carla. I'm sorry. Carla says, hello, Pastor John. My path. Lord, I'm trying my best to get on the right path. I'm not perfect, and I don't claim to be. I just ask that you keep on leading me in the right direction because I can't do this by myself in Jesus' name. Amen. But you know what? Don't go around saying you're not perfect. We know none of us are without mistake, but we are to be mature and developed, which is what that word in the Bible means, perfect. It means mature and complete. And the Bible says that we are complete in Christ, that we are accepted in the Beloved. And so look at yourself the way that God says you are, not just the way that you feel and think that you are. Call you blessed tonight. Carla, in Jesus' name. Just a couple more emails here. This one's from Bill. Bill says, may our Lord grant you many blessings this year, Pastor. Let's make 2023 the year of dedication to God, daily prayer, giving thanks to God, putting God first, loving others, and showing the light of Christ. I love it, and I agree with you 100%, Bill. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Glenn. Glenn says, to the great Pastor, Jesus is the only great one, Glenn. Thanks for the teachings each week. I am learning so much. May God bless you. I want to know more about what you want to learn, Glenn. So email me again. Let me know what's on your heart, what you really feel that you need to learn. And I want to focus on that. Call you blessed, Glenn, in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Brett. Brett says, good evening, Pastor. God is fixing the broken pieces in your life. Get ready for restoration. Woo! Amen, Brett. I love it. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. Last two emails. This one's from Grace. She says, Pastor, are we on fire tonight? Wow. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Call you blessed, Grace, and I love you in Jesus' name. This email is from Karen. Karen's closing us out by saying, hello, Pastor. The Chosen is the most amazing show that I have ever seen. It's a gift to watch it. Amen. Check out The Chosen. It is awesome. I was telling y'all about it a few weeks ago. Karen, I love you. Call you blessed in Jesus' name. I love all of you. It's been such a privilege to be with you once again. And until next week, I want to remind you that God is exalted. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. And keep fighting. Go to our website, spiritoffaithradio.com, and keep fighting the good fight of faith.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.